thanks for listening to Seal City SD. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Seals Jagov.
Hey, it's been a while. Nothing's changed in the world, though, right?
Yeah, not a lot's happened. So we just haven't recorded in a while. I wonder what should we catch up on. We're also joined with Andy Keats.
What's up, fellas? Things are normal.
Yeah, things are fine. So the last time we hung out was at Seal Star Wars night. Why don't we go back to the beginning of the end of the world and talk about a really fun night out? We all went down there and the Seals put on a pretty good show. What do you think?
You know, it was good. Like we all brought, or you guys, yeah, actually we all brought new people to the game who all really enjoyed the experience, right? We had a nice tailgate. There was some Star Wars stuff. And then it was the best. Can we all agree? It was the best Seals game of this entire Seals history.
I would say so. Yeah.
With on the field.
Yeah. It was, they blew out the team towards the end, but you know, the way they seated everybody really worked. I thought they brought everybody down, packed in, and they blacked out the top level. It was probably the most intense crowd we've had.
Well, and it was under difficult circumstances too, right? Yeah. Because, now I can't even remember the circumstances.
My memory of it was like, that was like the last day that you could go to an event without being made to feel very guilty.
Right. It was still okay.
Yeah, that was a Saturday. By Wednesday,
NBA was dead.
NBA was dead, and Tom Hanks had the virus. But like that Saturday night, you could just, or maybe was it a whole week before that?
No, it was. That Saturday night was 2 days. I think it was 2 days after they had discovered somebody in Chula Vista. The first case popped up in Chula Vista at that mall.
Yeah, which was not even necessarily a confirmed case, I believe.
Right, but that was like the first, I don't know, it was on people's minds in the parking lot. We were kind of like talking about it, not laughing about it, but kind of, it was in the back of people's minds.
We were like, it's not here yet. So like, let's live it up tonight. And it wasn't just us, because the Loyal had their home opener as well. So across San Diego, it is the last assembled like large event that there's been, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. I have like a very, I'm kind of embarrassed about it. I like tweeted at some NLL media guys like, hey, have you guys heard anything about whether they're going to cancel games like on that Thursday morning after the NBA had already been canceled? I think, which at the time, you know, it was not obvious. One was going to react, but in retrospect, it's like everything's canceled forever now. even think that there was going to be some other way to go about this.
There was this 12-hour, maybe longer period where it did feel like this could be specifically the NBA's problem. Like, oh, the NBA got it. And the NL, but then it just was over once Gilbert, you know, I think when Donovan Mitchell popped too, that was.
Well, yeah, because like, for instance, there was that period where UT reporter Mark Ziegler was like on a rampage about how no one should cancel anything.
Yeah, that was.
Well, great. I believe he actually said on the day of the Rudy Gobert news, he was like, "When was the last time you ever heard anyone catch the virus in an arena?"
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
They should totally.
Is there? Yeah, do we have a single case of somebody catching a virus in an arena, or are we just are we overreacting?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of
those tweets have not aged well.
I know.
Those
haven't aged
well. He cowardly deleted it. So
did he delete all that? Yeah. Oh my God, really? Oh, that's, well, I guess that's better.
Well, so from a Steel standpoint, though, like this couldn't have ended on a better note, right? Like, let's say the season is over. The fans got the best home game there's been, both, you know, marketing wise with the Star Wars stuff and on the field. Like, it was by far the best game I've been to. I mean, the opening night of the franchise was great because they won, and that was a great game also. But like, for pure dominance and getting to see like the team that we thought this would be on the field, that game, it was the best, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was fun, and It was just fun that day. And then also from a long-term perspective, it seemed like, okay, this is what the team looks like now that everyone's healthy. Stotts has had a couple games to knock the rust off. And also it seemed like they had really hit on something in closing the upper sections. And I assumed at least that was going to be what they would do going forward.
I think it did greatly improve the atmosphere of the games, right?
Totally.
I
mean, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So,
go for it.
Well, so we haven't talked a lot about the games. Like, I think the last time we podcasted, if I recall, weren't we still in doom and gloom mode the last time we podcasted, where we were like unsure where this team was going to go? And then all of a sudden Stotts comes back. They win in Vegas. They go on a they've been great really since we last podcasted. They've been great. Like, Stotts has been incredible. He's making a big impact right around the crease. He's just improved the whole offense. And then the team's really is like one game away from the playoff position. Like, they actually briefly held the second playoff spot for the Western Division after that, the last game that they played, until I think Colorado played the next day. So that's incredible to think, considering they're in dead last time we spoke.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff with the goalkeeping that, you know, that was a ride that we had to take towards the end there. But so what happened with that exactly? Demood got demoted and Frank
it was like,
came in.
So what, they ended the season on what, like a 4-game winning streak, I believe?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, and during that 4-game winning streak, we saw both Frank and Demood sort of back and forth, although the last two games were predominantly Frank playing very well. And so it had seemed like that was probably going to be the case going forward. But even within the winning streak, Demood still had a few very good games. Mm-hmm. And one very good game.
They both had flashes, though, where they were not just good, they were dominant for a critical half of a game.
Yes. Yeah, that Saturday morning game, Demood had only allowed, I believe, one goal in the second half.
Mm-hmm. And Frank really started that game poorly, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Also, speaking of just positive fan experiences, that Saturday morning game and the like fan fest they threw on the practice field afterwards was also fantastic. There was my family had back-to-back awesome Seals experiences before this virus ended the season.
Was the fan fest busy?
Yeah.
Because it was threatened by rain at that time, right?
Yeah, but it ended up being sunny and nice. It had been kind of like raining on the way into the stadium, but by the time the game was over, it was really nice. It was great. They had free bar.
I mean, we've been an advocate of the midday game, right? I think we talked about it on the last podcast on how maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But then after that, the Star Wars night was by far their most attended game of the season. So who knows?
Yeah,
maybe. Or you do Star Wars night every game.
They should have a bunch of them. They should have like half their games be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the weekends, and then have a couple Friday nights, Saturday nights, so we can leave our families behind for those. And, you know,
see, I think I would trade every Friday night game for a Saturday afternoon game.
Oh, I would, given the
option. Yeah, I mean, I don't. Half of that is just my own selfish interest that just works better with my family situation. But
I don't think we're the only ones. I mean,
I don't. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. It's a bummer. The thing I've been thinking about, and we mentioned this in our text thread, is I'm trying to figure out whether it's easier or harder for the NLL to attempt to resume the season far away from their normal playing time. Like if things were back to normal in, say, July, would it be easier or harder for them relative to the NBA or Major League Baseball or whatever to start the season during a time when they're typically never playing games?
Well, I think it'd be harder, right? Harder. Because we've talked about like how the arena works, right? Where there's like priorities for the different franchises, and you'd have to assume, I guess you'd have to assume that NLL teams are generally lower on the priority list compared to NBA or other sports.
Sure, most markets must be like that. I mean, But also, yeah. Are the NHL, is the NHL going to try to do this? Or is the NBA really going to try to come back? I mean, some of these arenas might be empty this summer, but...
NLL has the added issue of like the PLL existing in the summer, right? And that's, I don't know what those contracts are. Joe Tsai owns a PLL team. So like, I honestly don't know the answer to this, but I don't know which league pays the players more. I think it's the PLL. So you would think the players would prioritize PLL playing over NLL playing. And then that's it, right?
Yeah, so there's other summer leagues for lacrosse. There's also the MLL. And then there's also just the fact that they're not full-time lacrosse players, a lot of these guys. And so maybe they have carefully coordinated schedules that allow them to do this thing part-time during the winter, but they can't just, you know, rearrange that and do it during the summer or something like that. I don't know, you know, where NBA players and NFL players – all they do is play that sport, obviously. So it's probably, right. I suppose from that, all now after we've talked this through, it probably makes sense that it's harder for the NLL to restart the season at a different time.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see what sports league really comes back for, who's going to be the first one. I don't know how that's going to play.
Well, I mean, cause you think about it, like even if you restart in empty stadiums or something, and then one player tests positive.
Yeah, it's just...
You've got to shut it all down again, you know? So it's... And it would be so much more damaging to start and then have to stop and stop again. So, man, it seems like it's not going to be back anytime soon.
I mean, they don't have a lucrative TV contract to allow them to keep playing and paying salaries without gate revenue. Like, it's not... Like, baseball... Like, the Padres get, like, 20% of their revenue from... gate revenue. Like, it's not a major source of money for them. I'd have to assume BR Live pays a minuscule portion of their total revenues.
Yeah, I would assume almost nothing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then timing wise, I mean, you're looking at this, the normal season was going to end in what, late March, early April, then it would go to playoffs and the whole thing would be done by the end of April, roughly, right?
Right.
I just don't see a scenario where it's going to be able to come back this season.
I think, yeah, that's probably it, huh?
It's probably the best thing for the organization, the league, just to say, we'll be back in December. Like, I don't know. I don't know why they would try to force this or be the first league to come back or anything like that. But, you know, so this starts off, you know, the last what's up?
Well, I'm glad that we got that last experience. I'm glad it was a positive last experience because in my mind, if the season ends, I'm generally okay with it because I'd already written off the playoffs months ago. So in my head, I'm like, look, I got one last great time. I brought my daughter. We all had a nice tailgate. We hung out with good people, like, and it was a great game. Like, I'm okay walking away from the season with that. If it's obviously not the best position, but I'm at peace with it, I guess.
I'm mostly at peace with it, assuming that it doesn't threaten the health of the franchise in any way. I mean, Joe Tsai is obviously a very wealthy guy, but this isn't a nonprofit. You know, I assume he does intend to make money or come close to it with this. And, you know, you see reports about what percent of minor league baseball teams are allegedly threatened by this situation and how many of them may have to shutter because of it. I can't imagine that NLL teams are considerably more financially stable than your typical minor league baseball team. Maybe a little bit. I don't know for sure, but they're at least in the realm that if I hear that something like 50% of minor league teams are threatened by this, which is the report I saw, then that does make me concerned about the SEALs and probably more than the SEALs, just the league in general. I mean,
right.
I don't know that these teams have the financial position to go without half of their home games, basically.
Well, and we talked about it last episode about how a lot of the financial growth model for the league is expansion.
Right.
And obviously there's been a lot of talk about like MGM buying a team for Las Vegas and like, you'd have to assume this at least delays that a year, which pushes out expansion fees a year. And I don't know. I don't think Joe Tsai is going to go bankrupt, but I think you're right. Like, I don't know what the ownership group of like small markets like Saskatchewan or Halifax
or right.
that maybe they need the money to keep it going. Who knows? Right. Like, we may see the loss of some teams. Like, it's pretty common in leagues like this. I mean, you know, yeah. Like the Washington Power disappeared. Like, there's teams that come and go. Orange County had a team and it's gone after one or two seasons. So who knows?
Well, it sounds like on the Seals level, they're definitely trying to keep putting content out. They have some, you know, Life Without Sports stuff that they're still doing on their platforms. But, you know, a big part of what their outreach was last summer was hosting camps and having, you know, they were out in the community last summer. I wonder, like, even if they staff an office or have, you know, they're still trying to have paying people to outreach to the community. How's that going to play? They can't have camps really yet. So I wonder across the league, like if that seems like a big outreach thing in the summer that a lot of the leagues try to do in their markets. And I wonder what kind of outreach they can do to try to build the audience for next year. I don't know.
I would argue that the Seals are doing better than every other team in San Diego right now, though, at trying to keep them in your mind, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing little things. Like, last week they made like an 8-page activity book for kids. They're buying time. I assume they're buying time on Fox 5 to replay games during like mid-morning.
Which is great.
Phenomenal. It's great for the people that are sitting at home and want something on in the background. Like, it's great. And they're hosting like Instagram lives with players. I couldn't care less about how to string a lacrosse stick, but I tuned in to watch, I think, Connor Kiernan do it. Like, it's like little things that don't necessarily cost a lot, but it shows that they're trying to stay engaged. And like, you look at the Padres and they're not putting any of their games really on FSSD. Like, they should be running games all the time, right? Like, yes. on Fox Sports San Diego. Like, the loyal there don't must have be. A ton of stuff to fall back on yet, but like, I don't see them doing that much. As much as I love Craig Elston and what the Sockers do, I'm not seeing, you know, like little things like coloring pages. It's, I mean, you guys have kids. Like, parenting is all about killing the clock, right? And especially right now, anything I'm given to help kill the clock is great. Like, the Storm sent out a coloring page. It killed 20 minutes. It's something I'll remember that they did that for me. They
Thank you
gave
for
me
doing
20
that.
Minutes of solace.
The lack of engagement from the Padres is quite strange, I gotta say. There must just be something about the finances of Fox Sports San Diego that I don't understand, but I can't for the life of me get why you wouldn't have some program in, you know, some actually built up programming over this month or whatever, counting down the 30 most memorable games or something, you know,
dipping into the archives with something, right?
You've got, I mean, all that stuff's just sitting there, right? It can't
buy the time if you have to. Like I think the Seals bought the time. That's my guess.
Definitely. No question. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So buy the time. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do that. Like, they're producing a budget Padres social hour, right? Like, put it on TV.
Right. Yeah.
Are there rights issues for the Padres, like for games that were on Channel 4, like that era?
Maybe.
Maybe, but that was like 7 years ago. Like, I'm sure you could find stuff, right? Like, at this point, I would watch losing games. Like, just replay a season.
I would watch absolutely anything.
Just run 24 hours of Padres games.
And there'll be networks going through the 86 playoffs.
NFL is kind of doing that, right? Like, they about the YouTube channel that they're doing, playing nothing but historical games over the entire league's history. And if I have nothing else to watch, or if I'm sitting at home and I'm working, I have like two monitors and I don't need the second monitor, I'll throw the game on the second monitor.
Yeah.
Like, it's Fish, something.
Yeah. Fish is streaming their old concerts every Tuesday night, dinner and a movie. Join us if you guys are interested.
I'll try. Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that, I think.
All right. You're interested. Yeah. You're invited. That's what's important.
But I mean, I think the Seals are doing the best out of the teams. You know, they're doing the best they can with what they got, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So do you think there will be a bigger bigger audience next year? Do you think they have a shot at growing? It seemed like they went into this year, we thought it would be bigger, but it was a little stale at first, but maybe it caught, I don't know if it caught steam. Do you think it caught steam? How was the curve?
It seemed like it was catching back on. There seems like there's something rough about that late December, early January period for attendance.
Well, and Stotts has been built up as like a mega star for the NLL, and not having him on the floor hurt a lot.
Yeah.
You know, people like winners, right? And it's easy to sell. It's easier for Woods to go on the radio and sell the Seals when they're fighting for the last playoff spot than it is when they're dead last and the games are somewhat difficult to watch sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were just a much more enjoyable spectator product by the end. Which is kind of, yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see a season end when it was like, okay, not only are they coming together and looks like they'll make a run to get in the playoffs, maybe they could make some noise once they got there. Plus, it was just a fun team to watch. The defense was playing well as well. The offense had come together. Berg, once all the other pieces were in place, was clearly dominant on the right side. It was a fun team. I was really enjoying it. It's a bummer. I mean, to your question though, Nick, about whether they can be in a stronger position to start next year, like I don't even know what live sports are like next December. Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't even know if they'll exist.
Could it swing in a way where people are just craving it so hard that they want to just have that communal experience by then?
Like if let's say MLB doesn't happen, I think there is going to be like pent up need for a San Diego team to pay and go support.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, but it could also be that people are just like, I don't go to events that have many thousands of people anymore. Who knows?
You look what's happening with like the movie industry, like they think theaters just might not come back, you know?
I mean, we're getting pretty spoiled, right? Like I've been selling Trolls World Tour coming out on Friday for $20, like to play it in my house. Like it's an eminently better and more customer friendly product for me, right? Angry that I paid $100 to go see Onwards like 4 days before everything shut down. And now I can just watch it on Disney Plus next week.
Does Trolls come out on Friday? Is that
Friday? Yeah.
Okay.
Mark that down. All
right. Yeah. We got Disney Plus. We're getting deep into that. So I don't know. We just got to
put on Nugs.net. All these jam bands are doing all these streamed shows from their living room. You're right. It's spoiling me. I feel great about it.
It's great. This is the golden age of sitting at home.
Yeah, Goose has been streaming these live shows. That's you guys want an up and coming jam band, Goose.
All right. Well, yeah. So if this is the end of the second season, you know, what is the overall like just feeling about the Seals on the field for the first 2 years? Is it just that Austin Stotts has to be on the field for them to be an interesting product? I think that's basically what we learned last year, and it came true again.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think maybe big picture, it would be hard to come to a conclusion that there was like some meaningful growth taking place that we had been witnessing, right?
I mean, at the keeper position, it's hard to say there was growth, right? Like, if anything, we're left with more chaos and uncertainty going forward.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say, though, is we do have the benefit of being able to, instead of this just being a lost season, you can say things were on the upswing at the end. The team seemed like it was playing its best ball. You could talk yourself into a bunch of young players getting better. So,
do you think guys like Noble and Greer, do you think they come back? I mean, Noble's been pretty valuable this year. He's kind of picked it up, especially of late.
Noble and Greer both. I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to say. I mean, it seems like in this league, 2 year contracts are really your longest contracts you've got, and everybody else is more or less on like a 1 year deal. And so, you know.
Did you guys watch the February 29th game? It was the Calgary game. I don't know. We didn't discuss the result of it, but it was a ridiculous game. The team replayed it on Fox this week.
Yes, I watched it. I watched it on Saturday night because I bought it on BR Live, so I have it. That's the other thing that's awesome about BR Live is any individual game you've bought, it's just always in your account. So I watched that.
I think they've also made them all free right now. So anyone listening to this, I think, can go watch the games.
Yeah. But yes, that Calgary game, that was the best game of the year, I think, from a pure lacrosse perspective, because it was competitive all the way through. Dobie had, what, like 7 goals in the first half?
Like 11 billion goals.
Yeah. And they held them scoreless for like the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And to hang on with a 1-goal lead. That was a very fun game to watch. And there was like 5 or 6 like top plays, like SportsCenter top 10 level highlights in that game.
The Stotts goals early were ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. The skill level of those goals was off the charts.
Yes. And Jackson had a sick dunk on a couple.
Yeah.
Dobie, to his credit, had a few behind the back shots that were pretty sick.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to watch that and then watch the game from the earlier in the season when they didn't have Dobie in that, right? He was suspended. Yes.
There was this is very specific, going back to a replay call from a game nearly a month ago for a season that's been canceled. But I'm going to do it. They had that Dobie scored what I think would have been the tying goal. But the cage had been knocked off its moorings or whatever.
And right. Frank fell backwards, knocked right. it off.
And he scored anyway.
It wasn't Dobie. It was another player, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I remember Dobie yelling at the ref.
Or Dobie might have taken the initial shot and then someone else.
Yeah. Well, so there's a cool thing. So the NLL has a cool thing where they have the refs are mic'd during replays. So you can hear them talking to the booth and you can hear players talking to them. So Dobie came and yelled at him and you heard his conversation and hate the guy, but he made a good case. So the ruling on the field was that it was a goal because the ball went in the goal. When they reviewed it, it was overturned, called not a goal, because although the ball went into the goal, it did not cross through the two areas the goal line extended when the goal is in the place it's supposed to be. It was shown that it went just to the left of it. So Dobie's case at the time was, are you telling me that if the goal gets knocked off of its bearings and is pushed backwards, I'm not supposed to shoot at goal where it is, I'm supposed to shoot where the goal was and hope that it goes into the goal anyway? And if I don't, then it's not a goal. And that turned out, that apparently is the rule, which seems...
Well, no, that's not quite the rule, right? Because, so Frank fell backwards. And let's say that Frank fell into the area that was inside of where the goal should have been. If you shoot the ball into Frank's chest, and his chest is behind the goal line, but where the goal would have been, then that counts as a goal, right? It doesn't actually have to go into the net.
I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
I think it is. I think they explained this during the replay. Okay. I think it all comes down to if it would go in, if it went into an area that would have been a goal, had the goal been there, then it is a goal.
Yeah.
It never needs to touch the actual net.
Yeah. It was an interesting one. I thought it, but they overturned it and the announcers were certain that they got it right. We also had Merrill ended up just violently taking down one of the players on the other team
right at his neck. Right at his neck. Yeah. Dixon.
He was bleeding in his neck afterwards.
Right.
There was a no call during that like 5-minute period where they held them scoreless.
It was literally like the last shot of the game, right?
Last shot of the game.
It was great because Brody Merrill was cross checking him across the neck. Dixon couldn't even turn around to get a shot off, and he just flung it backwards into Frank's chest, and then that was the end of the game. It was brutal. It was just brutalizing him.
Yes. Yeah, that was a great game. That was actually the favorite game of the year, I believe.
I actually think for anyone listening that now that the games are free on BR Live, like if you want to go back and watch one game, I'd go back and watch that game. I think the Seals did wisely selected that game to show on Fox 5 this week.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they should just do more maybe from last year. Why don't just do it every week?
Like, I love it. I love having it on.
It really works.
I mean, how much could 10 a.m. on a Thursday airtime on Fox be?
Right. Ginsu Knives buys up that time. It can't be that expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think, like, if this gets really bad, it turns into, like, 12 monkeys, you know, we're hoarding, you know, commodities and stuff. Like, do you think we'll, if it's just really...
Have time for indoor lacrosse?
No, I was thinking if society is so over the just gone, do you think maybe the commissioner will just tell us why Dane Doby got suspended? Do you think we'll find out?
Yeah, we should.
What's the point of holding that back at the?
Give us this, please.
Yeah.
Have we talked on the show about how the Seals like made a real effort to try to sign Dane Doby this year?
I would have flipped. But
yeah. I don't know. I watched the Calgary game and watched him just score goals with impunity against the Seals. And like, I started imagining what it would have been like with Dane. Like this, the team would be undefeated. I don't know how you beat that team.
He is so damn good. And it's so funny because he looks the opposite of an athlete.
I know.
He looks like Pete Alonso, but shorter.
Yeah. And like, and I think he's going out of his way to cultivate that look. Like, you know, I might not be one to talk, but boy, he's got the rattiest looking beard I've ever seen. It is a bad look. And I there's no way he looks in the mirror and it's like, nice full beard. This makes me look like a mountain man. And yet he keeps it every day. So it must be intentional. Whatever he's doing, it's working. I got to tell you.
I mean, he goes out every weekend. He scores tons of goals, starts fights. Then he goes to work on like Monday. What does he say to people? Just like...
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
The MVP. I'm actually the MVP.
Yeah. He's got to be such a heel in whatever office or blue collar setting he works in.
I bet he's at a public park coughing on people right now.
Yes. Yes.
That's the Dave Doby, like, that lives in my mind. That's what he's doing. But
yes, like going out of his way to like aggressively shake people's hands and like explain that it's like a big liberal hoax that you have to even work. That is totally Doby.
Well, so is there anything else we should hit before we call it a season, I guess? Do you think there'll be
Is this a good time to point out that we were talking about Star Wars Night and what a success it was, but it was incredibly difficult for the team, not only because like they were forced to sell tickets on short notice for that game, but also they went head-to-head. I mean, we've talked about San Diego Fringe Sports. It was a big head-to-head matchup against the loyal opening night at Torero Stadium. So there was some question of how many people would be at that. There's a reason they did Star Wars Night that game. It was because the head-to-head matchup was so difficult for them. And they won. They had more attendance than the loyal did. So
I see the loyal had a tough beat there because they have one game and then it's – the society ends basically.
But, yeah.
You know, they were also fighting a battle on two fronts. They're trying to outdraw the Seals and they're worried about 1904 playing the next day at Lincoln High. I mean, it's tough out there for a startup fringe team in San Diego.
Yeah. Soccer's too. That's Soccer's right. Played that Sunday also.
I know.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend.
Really out of all of the fringe teams, I know they beat the Sockers. I know they beat the Loyal. I assume they beat 1904. So, like, that's a big feather in Steve Govett's cap, right?
It should be, yeah. That's the – you know, if he's looking for – if you end the season on a victory, that makes you a champion, right?
Yeah.
I'll bet they outdrew the last Star Wars
night training, too.
Yeah, I bet they did. I mean, they had a really good attendance that game. I will say I am bummed for the soccer community that waited so long for the Loyal to come. They had one successful opening game and then it's just back to nothing.
And then won their next away game, right? Like
they played on that like
Wednesday
as well, right?
Yeah.
The Wednesday where the killer virus really started. They
with no fans, right?
Oh, did calling they play it, to no fans?
Was it no fans? I didn't watch it. So.
I'm just calling it Gobert. Go Bear Wednesday.
Go Bear Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah.
Go Bear Hanks Wednesday.
Ziegler
Wednesday, yeah. Oh, boy, Ziegler. Bad look. Bad look.
That Wednesday morning? that Ziegler did? Oh, God.
It was like, it was, I think it was Wednesday. It might have been Thursday. Yeah, it was bad. But
yeah,
it makes all of his like columns ranting about the Mountain West TV deal and the like lack of seriousness of MLS as a soccer league significantly less significant to me. Just knowing that this is his the level of judgment he casts on other subjects.
Well, the Aztecs will always be 30-2. So
yeah, talking about another team with a bad beat.
I know. Not a fringe team. We're not calling them a fringe team. Don't say this is that.
They're very serious. That's a very major, serious organization.
All right. Well, hey, guys. It was a fun season. Stay safe. We'll try to do this next year if they
– We should get together in a couple weeks and just talk about non-indoor lacrosse things. Or maybe we'll watch a couple old games and get together.
Yeah, maybe we should – that'd be interesting. We should go through some like the first – a game from early in the season. What's that?
Oh,
like
yeah.
A live cast of some replay games?
Like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but with box lacrosse. All right.
Let's do it. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Seal City SD. Play hard or what's their stay home, hit hard.
You can still party. Isn't party hard one of them? You can still party hard at home.
Yeah. Stay home, party hard. The point.